Like my son, I don't have a monologue. That may be better for us all, I think. It's crazy, but I'm talking about Joe today, better known as Joseph, but I'd like us to bow for a word of prayer, and we'll take it from there. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much that you are the eternal, the everlasting creator of the universe, the one who sees every little kid that's born into this world and loves him. You're the one that sent Jesus to die for us. You're the one. You're the one. I would like very much today that you would help me to lead this group of people in honoring Jesus. Honoring Jesus today. We celebrate his birth, but he came to die. He also came to rise. And he also came to come back. And so, thank you. Please guide us this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, when it comes to Christmas, we do a lot of things very regularly. We always hear about shepherds. We always hear about three kings. We always hear about Mary. We always hear about Elizabeth and Zach. But we seldom hear about Joe. Joseph, the one that put up with all this. He was as instrumental in all of this as anyone. Because you know something? He obeyed what God told him to do. Joe was a craftsman. He was a carpenter, they tell us. And he probably came, well, he came from Galilee, which was kind of the blue-collar area of all of Israel. And he probably was getting ready to build somebody's house or something like that when all of this happened. And there must have been a little bit of frustration. Guys, if you can remember back this far, ladies, you don't have to listen to this. When you were engaged to be married, your mind was probably not on your job. Your mind was probably not on a lot of other things. Your mind was probably on that little lady that you had in mind. You're probably on the telephone. Or you were on something. In those days, we couldn't email. And I shouldn't say that. I'm talking to you oldies, okay? When I was that age, I didn't have such a thing as emails and texting and all that kind of good stuff. So I had to go to the real McCoy and do it on landline. But we were pretty excited. And then she breaks it to you. I'm pregnant. Really? What do you mean? We're going to study a little bit of Joe and what he went through, what he did, and how he handled it. Time was of the essence. We're going to take a little look at two of Joe's obediences. And then we're going to look a little bit at what Jesus told me about obedience. Jesus told me. Jesus told all of us that read the Bible. And that'll come from the book of John. So we're going to start in Matthew. Matthew, the first chapter. Here's one of the reasons we seldom get to Joe. He comes right after the genealogies. And who goes to the genealogies, right? It's in the same chapter as the genealogies. It's in Matthew 1. And we skip Matthew 1 to get past the genealogies so we can get to the good stuff. So let's take a look at the little issue here with Joseph and the Lord. It starts in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 18 through 24. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not an everyday occasion. This doesn't happen all the time. In fact, I only know of this one. God pulled one of his uniquenesses of the times. And so, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Pretty direct statement. What were Joe's options before this meeting in a dream? Now, how many of you listen to your dreams anyway? You know, most of us don't very much. "Oh, I had a dream last night. Yeah, I've forgotten all about it." This was a special dream. How many of you have heard from God verbally? Ever? Now, I know he's very capable, and he communicates in many different ways. He's even got more electronics than we ever thought we could get. And he can communicate with us, and he does. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. And so, on this, it says, he will say, "and all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. And the prophet said, 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." God is here. "And when Joseph woke up, he went about his daily business and went to work," right? No. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. That is the first "oh wow" of my sermon. He did it. Do you know what his options were before that? He could give her a letter of divorce. Now you say, divorce? They weren't married. Oh yes, in their culture, this betrothal junk, you know, that we talk about and don't understand. It's an engagement, yes, but they are considered married at that point, in that all the rules of marriage apply. This was adultery now. Joseph had two options. He could get her a letter of divorce under Old Testament law, and you can read about that sometime when you have the chance in Deuteronomy 24, first verse. Or he could turn her over to the community and they could stone her. He'd, of course, have to throw the first stone. Those were his options. I don't like those options. God intervened and gave him a third option. It said, "Marry the woman. She's carrying the Savior of the world." Now, think about it. If Joe hadn't obeyed what he was told to obey, what would have happened? What would have happened? Oh, don't give me the line, "God can figure something out," because I know he can. But God had it figured out well in advance when he put Mary and Joseph together. in the first place? Question, and you're going to hear this question a couple of times. What would you do if you heard from God today about doing something that was kind of out of the ordinary? Go someplace, do something that you had well planned in advance, but it got altered. How would you respond? This guy now had a family to take care of. He needed a house or two to build. He needed some jobs to do. But he married this woman. And by the way, God worked with this woman by taking her to meet with Elizabeth before that and prepare her for a lot of those things that were coming up that were very different. And he had to get Joseph ready also. And he started with this one. And so, we read that he married her. Now, this betrothal thing. When they agreed that two people were going to get married, the families knew about it, this was all set and ready, that was when the betrothal started. The betrothal ended at the wedding. But from the time they had agreed, and, well, you know, with the dowries and all that stuff that I don't understand, there was this betrothal, there was this promise, there was this agreement, and anything shy of anything, everything was considered, they were married. And this is why it talks about him as husband and her as wife and that kind of thing from this point on. When did the wedding happen? I think it probably happened a little before they went to Bethlehem, because, quite frankly, they were on their own all the way down there. He had to deliver a baby there. I don't know if they knew of any midwives around there that could come around. They were new to the town. I don't know, even today, that would stir me up a little bit. I think God had his hand in a few things here, don't you? Yeah. And then, a little while later, and we don't know how much later, but sometime later, we come to another wow. And that happens in chapter 2. Of Matthew. We know more about this one than we do the first one with Joseph. But on the second one with Joseph, it was after the magi, wise men, kings, whatever you call them in your circles, had been there for a visit. Now we know the story of they came, how many there were, we don't know, but they came from a long ways away. How long it took them to get there, and were they in the celebratory party of the first week after birth, or whether they're a year or two later, I don't know. Doesn't tell us. However, these people came, and they had taken a long trip, and they stopped off at Herod's palace in Jerusalem. And they said, Herod, we've come to worship this guy. Herod says, uh-huh. Which guy? Now, what I find very interesting about this whole Herod thing is that in chapter 2, when they told him who they came to worship, Herod knew exactly who they were talking about. Herod was very well aware that the Jewish people were waiting for this person called the Messiah. And when these guys came, he took one look at them and he knew who they were there to see. And so he said, uh-huh, yeah, let me give you some advice here. You go and find him, and my My elder board over here has told me he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They were still in Bethlehem. So you go and find him. And then come tell me where he is so that I can go worship him too with a sword. He wanted to kill that person, whoever it was. And so, they went, and of course God miraculously again led them right to the place. Are you getting the idea that maybe Jesus was kind of special? God was intervening pretty regularly here. Jesus was very special. And if he's not special to you, then you don't know the same Jesus that I'm going to tell you about in a little bit here. They went. They saw. They worshiped. They left gifts. And then they left. In between, God came in again and he said, guys, I know you're supposed to take a little detour through Jerusalem here to chat with Herod a little bit, but I tell you what, take the direct route going straight to the north and east here and let's not go back through Jerusalem. Because he's got other plans. And so, guess who else obeyed a dream? Those magi, those kings, those important people, leaders. God wasn't done with the dreaming thing. And so they went. And after they worshiped, they came and they said, in verse 13, and 14 of chapter 2 of Matthew, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt. That's another word for get going now. Flee. Yes. To Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. I got to turn my page again, just like I did on the last one. That night, Joseph, I mean, he got up. He was dreaming already. He was in bed, sleeping. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with his family that he had been given responsibility for, with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Okay, Lord, take care of it in the morning. Yeah. I'm tired, man. We just had three big king guys over here, and we had to entertain them for a bit. They said we didn't have to entertain them because they were really there to see our kid. But, you know, it drained me. And I've got to find a job because I got three mouths to feed now instead of just one. I'm busy. He obeyed immediately. He left. That night, they hit the road. Now, I know some people that like to drive all through the night. I'm not one of them. I get tired. But he left. This is all to maintain the life of one little boy at that time, whose name was given to him as Jesus. Now, that's the second oh wow. He got up and went. And I come to you with this question. How often have you, and most of us are kind of in the same boots as a Joseph, a tradesperson, a person that works with their hands for a living. How often has God come to you to tell you something? He can make his message very clear. I've heard many people tell me they get a feeling, or they get this still, small voice. And I'm like, really? How is this all possible? To get information directly? I mean, we're told that the Holy Spirit was sent to us to keep us in line, right? He was also sent to us to instruct us, right? He was also sent to us to all kinds of things. Convict of sin, to teach, to walk with us, go through the hard spots, and all these things. And I might add, to communicate with us too. And there were many, many, many years in my life when I thought that was a one-way thing. I prayed, but I never got too many answers, etc., etc., etc. How do we obey? Well, there's several ways. First of all, you got to read the scriptures. That gives us a whole bunch of what we got to obey. And I'm not worried about the gray areas that might be true, might not be true. Some do, some don't. And I'm worried about the blacks and whites. I still struggle with those. Some of those lying things, and some of those lusting things, and some of those things that the Bible's pretty clear on. But then there are more things. And I ask you to turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. In John, the 15th chapter, we have several things. And this is when Jesus, the same guy, okay? The same guy that was a little kid over here, became a man and did a whole bunch of teaching that we ought to learn from. He did miracles to prove who he was. Trust me, God sent. God sent. The God-man, fully deity, fully human. He had the same issues that I do. Yet he was free of sin, so he could be my sacrifice. That's an oh wow. That's the same Jesus that angels, I don't know if they sang or if they just praised or did responsive reading or just what they did, but they did it for the shepherds. Kings came by. They didn't come by to see a little baby. They came to worship the God-man. They came to worship him. And you notice how Joe wasn't in the grouping there. They came to see Mary and Jesus and worship. They bowed down. The kings did. Okay, this same Jesus is talking to his disciples in John, the 15th chapter, and he's preparing to die. That's what he came for, to be our sacrifice. And he talks to them. I better look at what I'm supposed to read here. He talks to them and says to them, I will send you an advocate. And so you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. It says there he's going to communicate with us. Not a one way. This is my commandment. We have a commandment here. Commandments aren't optional. The commandments given by God are not optional paths that we can take if we want to. He says, love each other. First rule that Jesus commands us to do. And we don't have to have a dream for this one. Is to love our brothers and sisters in the family of God. We cannot hate them. That's pretty clear. And then he goes on to say things like, well, they were grumpy and grouchy, and I just had to give it back to them. Well, I'll love them tomorrow. No. Do we obey our direct communication from God as Joseph obeyed? Or do we obey it like we like to procrastinate it? Do we? What do you think the world would think of the church if we all loved each other? It says in Acts that people were amazed at the love. By this will all people know that you are my disciples if you get along. No, if you love. That's an unconditional love. That was an unconditional move when Joe got up in the middle of the night and took off for Egypt. He didn't delay. Do we get the message? Are we close enough to hear? Or is God so far away that really he can't get a still small voice into us because we haven't even read the word? I wish I was just talking to you. I wish it wasn't so applicable to me. But it stares me in the face every day. I can find you more excuses than you'd ever want to find for not doing a lot of these things. And they are excuses. Now, he goes on to talk to them about, to his disciples, they're about, hey, if you do that obedience thing. By the way, he gave us a couple other commandments there too about, you know, going into all the world and giving out the gospel. Yeah, it's called that one. And the other one, the poor you'll have with you all the time, take care of them. Yeah, you know some of those? Yeah, those are kind of obvious. They're very clearly written. But Jesus also told his disciples here, look, the world's going to kill me for doing this. So if they're going to kill me over it, they might kill you too. So there came an order. He said, if you obey me and do this loving thing, you'll have my joy. The kids loved him, okay? You knew there had to be some joy there. You'll have my joy. Two, you'll probably get persecuted the same way I do. He promised that too, you know. That's the ouchie in the whole thing. Three, you'll have my peace. Oh, that's nice when you're hurting. And four, you can ask whatever you wish and the Father will give it to you. There'll be fresh communication available at all times. The three wows. The two for Joe. And the one for us. Jesus. See your Lord? Jesus. Is he your boss too? Does he give you the orders? He's written them. They're available. We got to know them. And you know, the nice thing is, John later on in one of his books, the first epistle of John, talks about how we sometimes screw that all up. And we do. We really do. But praise be to God, Jesus comes along and forgives us, cleans us up, and sends the Holy Spirit to help us with the next time we get all messed up. Thank you, Jesus. And all I got to say is, oh, wow.